Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us now is our buddy Bobby Corella of DallasMavericks.com. Bobby, how are you doing? How was your weekend, my friend?
I'm good, guys. My weekend was great, very relaxing, and I'm ready for basketball to start.
I know. It seems like, every day, of course, we are getting closer and closer, but it's just around the corner, and now we've even got the schedule. So we were salivating over this on Friday night. Now that you've had a chance to, kind of take a couple of days and look through it and compare and contrast with the rest of the Western Conference, do you think the Mavericks got a favorable 8 games out of this?
It depends on your point of view, right? If you're a super optimistic person, then I would say, yes, they got a pretty favorable schedule because half of their games are against teams that are beneath them in the standings. They get Phoenix twice, who's the worst team in the West that got invited. And then they have Portland, and they have a game against the Kings. And Phoenix and the Kings right off the bat, Portland and Phoenix are at the end. And so if Portland and Phoenix have been kind of pseudo eliminated from playoff contention, because remember, in order to be alive for that play-in, you have to be within 4 games of 8th place. Well, if they're been eliminated from contention, they might not even be playing those games to compete. And so from that point of view, yes, they got a very favorable schedule, but Phoenix has been a thorn in their side for many, many, many years. And no matter what the record is, they've always seemed to have a little bit of a tough time with Phoenix. And so those 2 games are the easiest that anyone will play in Orlando, but the Mavs still have to take care of business against Phoenix, and that's been easier said than done for the last few years.
Bobby Corella, DallasMavs.com, joining us right here on 105 Through the Fan. I seem like I talk to Bobby almost every day now, don't I, Bobby?
Hey, we're best friends now.
I know, right? As you looked at the schedule, you've seen a couple of games that have been highlighted, the July 31st game with the Rockets with an opportunity to move up in the Western Conference. What's another game or two that's on your radar that will give you a good indication of how the Mavericks will continue to move forward, not only within the bubble environment, but we assume once they get to the playoffs, it'll give you a good indication on what this team could potentially do in the playoffs?
Yeah, so the 2 big ones, you mentioned one is Houston. That's the first game right out of the gates. The next one to me that's going to be really, really important is that game against Utah. I think it's their 6th game. Out there. Utah is 2.5 games against up on Dallas in the standings right now. They won both of their games against Dallas this season, both of them very close. One was neck and neck really the whole way, and then the other one was basically a blowout turn dramatic comeback that fell just short, but that one was without Luka. And so Utah's gotten the better end of Dallas both times this season, but they'll be without Bojan Bogdanovic in Orlando, who's out after having a surgery to repair an injury. And so that's going to be a big blow to them offensively, and Bojan was huge for them in both games against Dallas. And so if you're trying to move up in the standings, they have a very realistic chance of passing Houston because they're only 1.5 games back and they play each other. But if you want to move past Utah, which again is possible because they got bit by the injury bug a little bit, you have to win that game. And, more importantly, those are 2 playoff caliber opponents, and so you'd like to see them perform well against them. No matter what, win or lose, but if you want to move up in the standings, those are 2 games that, in my opinion, you have to win.
Bobby, you mentioned something a little bit earlier in talking about the schedule, and I guess the unknown of, let's say, the Suns, for instance, are out of it. That last game on August 13th of the 8, do the Suns necessarily play Devin Booker or maybe some of their starters in that? But I wonder your thoughts on this since you cover the sport every day, but could we kind of be looking at maybe a different line of thinking with head coaches? You know, let's say you're coaching the Blazers and the Suns or a team that's out of the picture, even if you're the Clippers or the Bucks and you've secured whatever that seed might be that you're going for. Usually we would say maybe you go ahead and rest some guys, but because of having just 4 months off, and then again, you're starting the season later in December as opposed to October when you're usually getting things going. Do you not think coaches around the league and players might want to just try and play all the minutes you can to try and keep their legs under them and stay fresh since they haven't been able to play basketball much over the course of the last 4 months?
It's interesting to think about. I think it's going to depend on your situation. Like Dame Lillard, for example, whenever this first negotiation started, I mean, way back in early June, even into May, he was like, if we're eliminated from the playoffs, I'm not playing at all. So, I think if you're on a team like Portland or Phoenix or the Spurs, who as it is right now already have kind of an outside chance of making it, and then you become eliminated, I just find it hard to believe that they would put themselves at risk. But then again, you know, to your point, this is kind of their first, as crazy as it is to think about, their first real bit of conditioning in a very long time. A lot of these guys don't have a basketball court. You know, it's not like you can just go to your local gym and put up shots during this because everything is closed. And so there is kind of the aspect of, you know, this is real life conditioning that you can do even if you're eliminated, but you're obviously risking injury. But the teams that I think will play no matter what, you know, I was thinking about this for a while. Teams like Milwaukee and the Lakers are already so close to clinching. I think Milwaukee only needs to win one game in order to clinch the number one seed. But these guys have just been sitting around for 3-4 months now. And so I think until maybe the very last game, it wouldn't surprise me if Milwaukee was playing a normal rotation, because as good of a shape as Giannis is in, he still needs to get, you know, his lungs back. He's got to get his game legs back. There's a difference between being in shape and in game shape. And so that could be potentially a bad break for Dallas because they play Milwaukee toward the end of the 8-game run. But if Giannis is still playing, even if they've already clinched, then of course it's going to be a very tough game.
Bobby Carilla, DallasMavericks.com, with us here in the nosebleed seats on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby, Trey Burke, he is the recent signee as Willie Cauley-Stein is not going to Orlando and Courtney Lee is hurt. So they bring back Trey Burke. I was thinking it was going to be Ryan Brokaw, who I know is a fan favorite and a favorite of yours. He ends up signing with the Sixers. What do you think the impact of Trey Burke can have now as he's back in a Maverick uniform?
Well, he was good last season. You know, the stakes were a little lower because the Mavs were out of playoff contention and everything. But he was good last season following that trade with the Knicks. He came over in the KP trade alongside Tim and Courtney Lee and KP, of course. And he even started some of those games. I think he put like 25 on OKC whenever Russell Westbrook was playing. And so, you know, he can definitely fill it up a little bit. And where he's going to come in big for them is, even though, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein is a center and Trey Burke is like, you know, 5'11", 6 foot on a good day, he's not going to replace Willie's size, but he is going to replace Jalen Brunson's playmaking. And, you know, behind Luka right now on the depth chart, it's DeLon Wright and J.J. Barea, and that's really it as far as point guards go. And so you never want to kind of paint yourself into a corner. Let's say Luka gets in foul trouble and J.J. turns an ankle, and then all of a sudden you only have one ball handler for the rest of the game. I mean, that's a really bad situation to be in. So, you know, you need to add some playmaking depth there. And then also, I think there's a benefit to Trey having experience in this system already. This is going to kind of be like an unusual situation for every team, no matter how good or bad you are. But for him to just basically be able to be dropped into the rotation and still kind of have a pretty good idea of the sets they're running and you know, a good feel for his teammates and everything, I think will be an advantage for them, as opposed to someone like J.R. Smith with the Lakers, who's totally new, you know, to all his teammates, except for LeBron, of course.
Bobby Carilla, DallasMavs.com, joining us right here on the Nosebleed Seats on 105.3 The Fan. One of the interesting things about this season is the damage that Luka has done without Kristaps Porzingis and the damage that Kristaps Porzingis has done without Luka Doncic. What do you think we can learn in these 8 games with hopefully both of them on the floor at the same time that will give us an indication once we get to the playoffs that this is a duo that remains healthy, can really make some noise potentially in the playoffs with both of them being on the floor at the same time?
Well, it's going to be really interesting to me more than anything else is what position is KP playing. Before the hiatus began, You know, Dwight Powell ruptured his Achilles and was out for the year, and so KP was playing a lot of minutes at the center. Now, they did go out and get Willie Cauley-Stein, and Boban got some run too, and so, you know, every now and then he'd slide back down to power forward, but for the most part, he was a full-time center. And in the playoffs, especially whenever you're playing against the upper echelon teams, they go small, like, all the time. And so in the playoffs, KP is going to be playing a lot of five, and so what I want to see is in these 8 games that they play before the playoffs begin, can they kind of recapture that same sort of chemistry and synergy that they had, that they were developing in the pick and roll? Because if KP is going to be your full-time five, you're probably going to go small around him, like Dorian Finney-Smith at power forward, then Luka and Tim Hardaway and Seth Curry or something like that. And so the Luka-KP pick and roll is really going to be like your primary and kind of only source of consistent offense that you can run. So that's got to be working, firing on all cylinders. And so if they can kind of come out of the gate hot the way that they were finishing up before the hiatus, then that'll serve them well.
I do have this question for you, Bobby, from the 817. And I know, you know, obviously you work for the team. So, I mean, your realistic option or opinion here from the 817 wants to know, you know, what's your realistic ceiling for the Mavericks when they come back for the playoffs, assuming that they do make it? All they need to do is really win one game. But what do you think is some realistic expectations for this club?
Well, it depends on the first round matchup, I think. You know, they could go 6-2 in this restart and be stuck in seventh somehow and play the Clippers, and, you know, that would kind of suck. But if they can avoid the Clippers, then, you know, I think their realistic ceiling would be giving whoever they play in the first round a really good run for their money. You know, whether that's Denver, I think Denver is really kind of the only realistic first-round opponent that they could face other than the Clippers at this point. There's like a minor chance that they could jump both Houston and OKC and play Utah or something, but odds are it's going to be either the Clippers or Denver. And so my ceiling would be give Denver a heck of a series and maybe even win. But, you know, anything beyond that I think would just be gravy, really. It's going to be tough to beat the Clippers, no doubt, so you'd like to grab a game or two from them, and then, you know, anything more than that is awesome. But then again, I mean, there aren't many players in the NBA that are better than Luka, and generally in the playoffs, if your best player outperforms the other team's best player, then you have a chance to win. And so, you know, that's kind of the most optimistic way I could put it. But, you know, again, if they find themselves with a favorable first-round matchup, then I would say, you know, you got to try and win it, and if you can, then that would be a huge step forward for these guys.
You know, one of the things we discussed last week was, you know, the skill players around Luka and KP, and who do you think could be an X factor? And we went through some of the names, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Seth Curry. I think a name that a lot of fans might have forgotten about or overlooked is DeLon Wright. And I know he's had an up-and-down season, but of all the players that we're talking about with a very deep Mavericks bench, I think sometimes we overlook DeLon Wright a little bit. What do you think about that, Bobby?
He's come up big. I mean, you think back to the most recent game they played, which was almost 4 months ago, which just makes me sad to think about. But in that game against Denver, he was huge. And, you know, they beat L.A. earlier this season, the Lakers, and DeLon was big in that game. He scored like 20 points. They played New Orleans game two of the season, and he had a 20-point game and was big. So generally, you know, he's kind of one of those guys who, like, I don't know if Rick gives him more minutes because he's playing well or he plays well because he's getting more minutes. Generally, when he's playing 20 or 30 minutes in a game, he's really like stuffing the stat sheet. You know, he gets his hands in passing lanes, he's blocking shots, getting rebounds, sneaking around guys on offense and defense, you know, delivering the ball to shooters. I mean, he can really play whenever he gets the playing time. So without Brunson and, you know, probably in a playoff series, I'm not sure, I guess it depends on the matchup, but I'm not sure how many minutes J.J. Barea will be getting. So there's going to be a huge opportunity for him, especially now without Courtney Lee, to step up and get, you know, 20, 25 minutes every night if he can come in and make an impact. And so he kind of gives them something that no one else can really do. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith is long and athletic, but he's not much of a guy who's going to, you know, make steals or block shots. He's just going to give you rock-solid defense. But those splash plays, you know, getting steals, blocking shots, getting out in transition, pushing the ball are things that not many other guys in this team can do. So that, on the defensive end, he's kind of their biggest X factor, I guess, if you want to look at it that way.
Bobby Carillo, DallasMavs.com, joining us on the Nosebleed Seats right here on 105 Through the Fan. Last question before we get you out of here. Rick Carlisle seems like he's embracing this challenge of going down to Orlando in this entire bubble environment. What do you expect from him in terms of his leadership, a guy who is a fringe Coach of the Year candidate, and how he's going to have a real positive impact on this team given the unprecedented situation that this team and the league overall is dealing with?
This whole season, I mean, all the way since really January of 2019, whenever they pulled the trigger on the KP trade, this entire season has been about getting Luka and KP to the playoffs healthy and then getting them experience once the postseason begins. And so Rick's experience, J.J. Barea's experience, Courtney Lee's experience, you know, is big. Even though he's not healthy, he's going to go to Orlando with these guys. He's been to a finals. Just kind of giving Luka and KP a shoulder to lean on, put your arm around them, and, you know, things are going to be tough in the playoffs, but you got to keep these guys motivated and confident and everything. And, you know, what's really interesting for me is the Mavs are a very young team, and really ever since Rick got here in 2008, you know, they've been kind of a veteran bunch. You know, Dirk had already been there, done that, Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, all those guys. So this is kind of Rick's first real shot at sort of teaching these young guys what to expect in these high-pressure, high-leverage situations. And I want to say in a weird way, even though it is such an unusual circumstance, you know, they were almost certainly going to be the lower seed in a series. And it's really tough to coach a team whenever you don't have home court advantage in the playoffs. And so just that alone, I think, will be kind of a liberating thing for them, you know, not having to deal with road crowds and everything like that. But it's going to be kind of an interesting new experience for Rick, sort of showing young guys the way in these big moments and putting them in a position and making adjustments needed to help them succeed.
Bobby, you the man. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. We'll catch up with you again soon, brother.
Appreciate it, Bobby.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.